Today is Thursday, September 24th. We'll explain the decision in the Breonna Taylor case. One officer was indicted, though it's not for the reason protesters had hoped for. Also, another American company enters the final stage of the race to provide a safe, effective COVID-19 vaccine. Why this one could be different than the others. Plus, California's new rule for new cars. Why Amazon is adding a new label to some of its listings. And we'll tell you new blockbuster release dates as they get pushed back further. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, we start today with a controversial decision out of Louisville, Kentucky about the Breonna Taylor case and the violent protests that have followed. Protesters rallied late into the night last night, and at last check, two Louisville police officers have been shot. They were both hurt and one had to have surgery, but the acting Louisville police chief said they are expected to survive. Sparking these protests, a grand jury decision about the three officers who shot into Breonna Taylor's home back in March. One of them, a former police detective, was charged with a crime and arrested. The two others are not facing any charges. And the one who was charged wasn't actually charged with killing Breonna Taylor, even though she did die in that shooting. He was charged for shots he fired into a neighboring apartment that night. Kentucky's attorney general defended the grand jury's decision, saying the three officers were justified in shooting into Taylor's apartment since her boyfriend inside the home opened fire first. Remember, the boyfriend said he thought the officers were intruders since they weren't in uniform. The attorney general also said there's no way to know which officer's bullets actually hit Breonna Taylor. But Taylor's family attorneys call the decision outrageous and offensive. One lawyer pointed out on Facebook that the indictment only mentioned the shots into a white neighbor's apartment, but not shots that he says also landed in a black neighbor's apartment. And in Taylor's case, the family lawyers argue murder charges would have been appropriate. Instead, former Detective Brett Hankinson was indicted on three counts of wanton endangerment for the shots in the neighbor's apartment. He had already been fired from the police force, and now, if convicted, Hankinson could spend 1 to 5 years in prison. After his arrest today, he posted bail and was able to go home. As expected, protesters took to the streets soon after the decision was announced yesterday. And last night, they took a violent turn. The AP reports when those two officers were shot last night, they were already investigating reports of gunfire. Police say they took a suspect into custody. And we should note, even before that happened, things were tense. Protesters had defied a 9 p.m. curfew, so police cleared crowds with flashbang devices and pepper balls, and nearly 50 people were arrested. There have also been rallies and protests about this decision in cities like New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and Philadelphia. But so far, those marches and gatherings have stayed mostly peaceful. Republicans looking into Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, say they have not found evidence of wrongdoing. The Senate Homeland Security Committee released this new report. The committee chairman, Republican Senator Ron Johnson, has said before he thought the findings would show Joe Biden was unfit for office. But the report shows no major smoking guns. Still, the report did find that a couple of officials had raised concerns while Joe Biden was vice president. They were worried about the perception of a conflict of interest when Biden's son was serving on the board of a Ukrainian energy company while Biden himself was leading policy efforts in that country. They said it was awkward. But ultimately, the report says there was no actual wrongdoing. The late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's casket is now at the U.S. Supreme Court as people pay their respects, and it'll stay there through tonight. Then she'll lie in state at the U.S. Capitol tomorrow. Already, when her casket arrived yesterday, she was honored in a powerful display outside the Supreme Court. More than 100 of her former law clerks were there to greet her, with a handful of them carrying her casket up the steps. Inside the court, a rabbi talked about how Ginsburg fought to make sure the Constitution's promise of we the people would include all people. Chief Justice John Roberts also talked about how Ginsburg, as an attorney, helped move our country closer to equal justice under law. And he said her 483 opinions from the bench over the last 27 years will steer the court for decades. Remember, Ginsburg died last Friday of complications from pancreatic cancer. Tomorrow, she'll be the first woman and the first Jew to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. Another American drug company is advancing in the coronavirus vaccine race. Johnson & Johnson announced it's starting the final phase of trials, and it'll be the largest trial yet for a COVID-19 vaccine. The company says it will be enrolling up to 60,000 volunteers across three continents. Also unique about this Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you would only need one shot, instead of two, a month apart, like the others, which can make it harder logistically to keep track of who got what vaccine when. Remember, this is the fourth COVID-19 vaccine to get into the final phase of testing in the U.S. Moderna and Pfizer are still moving forward with their final phase trials, but the AstraZeneca vaccine trial is actually on hold in the U.S. A volunteer got sick, so it's under a safety review now to figure out if the vaccine caused a reaction. If everything goes well for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the company says the first batches will be made available by early 2021. After that, the goal is to provide 1 billion doses of a vaccine each year. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor today, Rothy's. It is that time to take your first steps into fall, and Rothy's is here to help you do it with comfortable, washable, and sustainable shoes and bags. If you've been listening for a while, then you know I'm obsessed with my Rothy's shoes. I have a pair of their flats, and they're the most comfortable flats I've ever owned, yet they're still so chic and stylish, and they go with everything. I love them so much that I'm going back for more. This week, I'm ordering the lace-up in bright white, and I can't wait. But there are a ton of different colors, prints, patterns, and styles to choose from. And you know what makes me love Rothy's even more? They've kept over 60 million single-use plastic bottles out of landfills and transformed them into their signature thread, which is then knit into their stylish, sustainable products. So check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's rothys.com, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. And they always have free shipping and returns. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. California just put new rules in place as part of its fight against climate change. Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order that requires all new cars sold in the state to be zero emission by the year 2035. That means within 15 years, every new passenger car sold in California would have to be battery powered or hydrogen powered. They would not run on gas. California is the first state in the U.S. to take this big of a step, although other nations have taken similar action, like Canada, the U.K., and France. In California, Governor Newsom says it will have a huge impact, that the transportation sector causes more than half of California's carbon emissions and 80% of its smog-forming pollution. But not everyone is on board with more regulation. A White House spokesman told the Wall Street Journal, this is an example of how extreme Democrats have become. He said this plan will destroy jobs and raise costs for consumers. Although Governor Newsom argues by the time the rule goes into effect, zero-emission vehicles will be cheaper than gas-powered cars. Either way, experts expect this to be challenged in court. Stay tuned. Amazon wants to make it easier to find sustainable products. The online retailer is going to start adding labels to items, marking them as climate pledge friendly. The label will be put on products that meet certain standards, like if they're made from recycled products or come with less packaging. You'll start seeing the labels on listings for groceries, beauty products, clothes, electronics, and more. Amazon says more than 25,000 products have been labeled so far. Another major American bank is spending more than $1 billion to help close the racial wealth gap in the U.S. Citigroup says the money will go to several different initiatives, like strengthening the bank's anti-racism policies and practices. Also, it will help people of color buy homes, and it will invest in more Black-owned businesses. Citi says that's especially important since typically when companies are looking for financing, banks turn down Black-owned businesses twice as often as white-owned ones. But Citi says there's some big benefits to closing the racial wealth gap for everyone. For example, it would add trillions of dollars to the U.S. GDP. Though the company adds this is bigger than that. It says it wants to, quote, help build an anti-racist economy and society. And it's not the first bank to do so. Bank of America also announced in June that it was pledging $1 billion to advance racial equality and economic opportunity. Disney has postponed the release of several of its fall blockbusters. That includes Marvel's Black Widow, starring Scarlett Johansson, which was set to debut in November. It'll now hit theaters in May of 2021. Also, Variety reports Steven Spielberg's West Side Story has been pushed from this December to next December. And the movie Death on the Nile, based on the well-known novel by the same name, is now debuting the week before Christmas instead of next month. The delays come as theaters struggle to bring back customers nationwide. Remember, most had to close when the pandemic first hit. And even as the majority reopen, many people are hesitant to return. And speaking of delays, the Metropolitan Opera is dealing with its own fallout from the pandemic. It was originally supposed to start its new season of performances this week, but the Opera House delayed it to December, and it's now pushed it back again until next September, as in a year from now. The AP reports it's the first time in nearly 140 years that the Metropolitan Opera will skip an entire season. The Bonnaroo Music Festival begins today. Usually it brings about 80,000 people to Manchester, Tennessee, but this year it's going virtual because of the pandemic. People will be able to watch performances for free on the festival's official YouTube channel. Some will be new this year, though the headliners will be recorded performances from years past. The festival runs through Saturday with performances beginning at 4:30 p.m. Central Time each day. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today's thing to know is that space debris may be getting worse. Space debris nearly hit the International Space Station this week. NASA says on Tuesday the station had to use thrusters to boost its orbit and let the debris pass. It's not clear what the space object was, but it apparently came within less than a mile of the ISS. And NASA says space debris has become more of a problem lately. It says this year alone, the space station has had to move three times to avoid other objects. Already, NASA says there are more than 500,000 pieces of junk floating around Earth's orbit, including broken satellites, rocket boosters, nuts and bolts, and more. And all of those can cause a threat to astronauts and spacecraft. All the while, there are aggressive plans for new space ventures to send thousands of items, like satellites, to space in the next 5 to 10 years. NASA is asking for more funding to help deal with all the junk. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow with your news roundup for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.